Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, you're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs with me, Giles Bidder. It's where I speak to bands and artists about what it's like trying to prioritize music, trying to make playing, writing, recording, touring, producing, all of those different jobs that come along with the seed or the main nucleus of your idea, what that all means to try and live that on a day-to-day basis. And on today's episode, we've got Pip Blom, the Dutch band, led by Pip herself, just released their third album, Bobby. Really great sound, really imaginative melodies, great lyrics. We talk about lyrics and what it's like to write in a different language on this episode. And yeah, just a really great feeling. One of my highlights last year was going to see Pip Blom at the Islington Assembly Hall. And I remember kind of looking around mid-gig and just enjoying and appreciating the feeling of the room at that time. Yeah, Bobby is out now on Heavenly Recordings. Go and pick it up. You can find it on Heavenly Recordings web store at Pip Blom's Bandcamp. And you can catch them at some in-stores and gigs this week. Bristol, Liverpool, Edinburgh and they're heading back to Amsterdam, but they'll be back next spring touring in the UK. So if you missed them this time, you have another chance to catch them then, which I highly recommend. Cheers for listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs. If you enjoy this episode, enjoy this show, or please press subscribe. Those subscription numbers really help me keep getting more brilliant and excellent guests like Pip Blom and like some of the ones we got coming up. Tomorrow, we got Buck Meek from Big Thief. Then we've got Fiddler on Friday and Snail Mail next week. So lots to look forward to. And when you click that subscribe button, that bell, then you get notified as soon as they go live. You can also rate and review the show. All that stuff is massively helpful if you're able to do that. Thank you. Before we get into the episode, I'm going to speak with Rebecca from the band Ekka, who's also a brand ambassador for Ampollo, which is a practice at home app. It's getting to the end of wedding season, so if there's anyone out there who's been playing in a wedding band, about to play in a wedding band, and needs to get their chops up on a Paul McCartney bass line where he doesn't play the same thing twice, Ampollo is the app for you.
The one wedding I played as a larger band, I remember I actually messed up my Spotify account because of it. Ampollo would have been a lifesaver.
Yeah, you could hear it back, hear yourself play it. And that probably has, I mean, that definitely has that kind of subconscious impact of being like, yeah, I can do that. If I did it then, I can do it again now.
Exactly, yeah. You're not having to like run over to your laptop the whole time, set up a new recording channel, all that kind of stuff.
That's Ampollo. It's free. You can download it from the App Store now. Happy practicing. All right, you're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs. Here's Pip Blom.
101 Part-Time Jobs.
It's still a bit of a struggle, like financially, because it's you actually need to earn quite a lot of money to be able to like pay yourselves a normal wage. Mm. I would say, I think we're all still below minimum wage. But I guess when I, like, it has been a dream of mine for a long time to do it, like, full time. So when you do really want that, you think it's easier to make it work as well. And then Tender and I are in the, like, position that we can still live at home, and we live very comfortable at home. So we've got our own, like, floor.
Nice.
Yeah, my mom and dad bought this house ages ago for like I don't think you'll be able to buy any house at the minute for that small amount of money. Wow. They made a really good decision, and then now we're all here, and it's really fun because my boyfriend, who is in personal trainer, that's also a band, he lives here as well. And then Tender's girlfriend, who is a musician as well, she's called Lena Hessels, she lives here. So it's like this big music household, which is just really nice. But I guess like when I was around the age of 19, I was looking for, more friends who enjoyed music. I always thought like if I start a band, then maybe I can find those people. So that's kind of how it started, because I had friends, but they were into really different types of music, more like dubstep and drum and bass, and less indie rock, I guess you would say it like that.
Guitar music.
Yeah, guitar music, exactly. So I started the band, and then it happened all quite fast, I would say. Like, I mean, we've never been a massive band, but still, like, we could play lots of shows, and especially the first album, people seemed to be really excited about it. So
yeah.
That was kind of when we felt like, well, we get to travel the world and also be able to earn some money with this, and not everything goes into paying for the tours, but we can even pay ourselves a little bit. And then I started doing my maths, and I'm not really good at that, but then every time we would like calculate to see like if we get fees that are this amount of money, then we can pay ourselves that amount of money.
That's it.
Yeah, and I mean the fees that when you're doing the math and you can see like, oh, you don't have to earn 20,000 euros for one show in order to be able to pay yourselves, then it made it more and more like doable, I guess. Like it felt like maybe one day we can live off this and we don't have to work part-time jobs. But at the minute, I do have a part-time job, for example. But I don't really mind. I like working, so that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, there's a few things in there that I want to immediately talk about, like, the first, I think one of them's being that when you really want to do something, you know, you'll kind of make it work no matter what.
Yeah.
And I suppose that gets to a dangerous point where you're doing something and you keep on losing money. Yeah. So having that kind of smart voice on your shoulder, there's a balance there, right? Between having, like, the adventurous mind and having the smart mind.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess, like, when you start to, like, when you really don't have any money, you spend it all on being a musician, because that's quite expensive, then you get really stressed as well. And I guess that's always the point where I'm like, okay, I don't want to be stressed the entire time. Like, that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't move to London, for example. Like, I would love to live there, but I think it would stress me out, like, how much money I would need to make to be able to live there.
That's it.
Yeah, but then, like, as long as you're not too stressed, I think it's fine to work a bit on the side as well, like, combine it with other things. It can also be healthy not to spend all day, every day in the music scene.
Yeah, especially as writing songs, that's not something that you do in that kind of admin, same kind of mind as playing in a band. No. Writing songs is like, that sounds about a bit earnest saying it, but it's about living, isn't it? It's about, you know, exploring life. And when we talk about part-time jobs, I mean, there are some jobs that can be quite fun. You know, I feel like this is a dangerous conversation, right? Because so many people have to work to feed their kids and to pay their rent.
I mean, for sure.
And you know, it's really, you know, it's good to be mindful of that. There are kind of these small jobs that we can have that are, like, they're fun. You know, if we're in a position where we can, like, enjoy something, and maybe working at a coffee shop becomes a place of a muse, or, you know, it becomes a place of inspiration.
Yeah, no, it's like I work at the gardening center at the minute, and I really like plants, so that's like a great job for me. But I really like it because it's 2 days a week, and if it would be 5 days or 7 days a week, it would be completely different. So yeah, like, that's 100% true that, like, if you need to work because otherwise you can't keep your head above the water, then it's like, maybe that's, I don't know if that's English, by the way.
No, it is, head above the waves, head above the water, definitely,
Okay, because sometimes I translate these Dutch sayings and then I'm like, because we say, there comes the monkey out of the sleeve. I don't think that's an English thing, is it?
No, but I'm going to start using that, having no idea what it means.
So I was just thinking, do you know what it means?
But what does it mean? As the monkey comes out of the sleeve?
Yeah, so, like, when, let me think, how can I explain, like, if someone asked you out to do something and you're really surprised, like, why is he asking me to come to, I don't know, this place, and then all of a sudden he says, like, I want to go there because I think my ex-girlfriend is there, and then you're like, aha, there comes the monkey out of the sleeve. Like, that explains, I guess.
That is a good one.
Cute.
So you've been enjoying the garden center then?
Yeah, I really like it. It's fun because it's quite a versatile job. So one day I'm behind the cash register, and other days I need to, like, decorate tables with plants or, like, water plants. And it's just really fun because I like plants and I really like the environment. So it's been really nice.
Being around green it lifts your mood, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, no, 100% sure. The only, I would say the only downside of working at the garden center is that I want to buy all the plants. So that's just too expensive.
Yeah, that's fun. And you mentioned earlier when you were 19, you know, you had your friends, you know, you had your, you know, what was going on in front of you in your life. To have that idea of, no, I really like guitar music and indie rock, I'm going to try and do something, that's really brave. You know, I feel like people don't really talk about how much of kind of a strength of character or a strength of will or belief, you know, because you could perfectly easily go along and have that idea and never really do it. But to kind of make that extra step and be like, nah, fuck it. I'm going to do this. No one else is going to do it for me. I'm going to, you know, no one's ever going to do anything really for you in your life in that kind of creative sense. True. Have fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I at first tried to form a band, but that was really difficult because, well, I didn't know anyone, and it was just like, how am I going to find these people then? And if they don't know what type of music I want to make. So that's when I kind of started making music on my own, because I thought, if I've got like 4 songs that I can send to people and be like, hey, this is the type of music I want to write. Do you want to join the band? And I think those 4 tracks, they're still on Spotify. Like,
great. So you can,
those are like the first 4 I did.
And that's a great example of maybe not having everything in place that you'd ideally want it to be, but just kind of working with what you got.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I was terrified, and I'm a bit shy, and I find it difficult to just go up to people and be like, hey, do you want to be in my band? And then have to sing in front of people. But yeah. I guess I wanted to be in a band, or like at least make music with other people, because like all the bands that I liked, and around that time, it was just like, I think Parquet Courts just were like getting really big, and I saw them for the first time. I was just like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do this with my friends as well. So yeah, it felt like I needed to try and find those people. But I mean, also, like, you have to keep in mind that it's probably not going to work out like straight away. So it's going to be difficult as well.
That's it.
Oh, well.
When I moved to a new town when I was sort of 14, 15, and I saw the punks hanging around in the town center, and I thought, I was like, I need to be friends with them. I didn't, you know, looking back now, it's kind of funny, because I can't really explain those feelings of seeing those people and being like, I want to be friends with them. I want to be in their gang. What they're doing is really fun. I'm already, you know, at the time I was really into ska punk and some, you know, good punk rock and a bit of hardcore as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, these are my people, like music at that age. And ever since, it's like music kind of defined my life. It's funny how it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also funny that because someone listens to a type of music that you straight away assume that they're nice people. That's like, it's quite crazy, but it does kind of work, I guess. I don't know. It's a good start.
It's a good start. And then you'll meet someone who's an asshole, and then you think, okay, not everyone is nice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good to remember that.
Yeah. But sometimes you need like a first topic to talk to people about, and if that's music, it makes it really easy if you know a lot about the type of music.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
going to a gig on your own can be quite an intimidating thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But what kind of walking up to someone and saying, nice t-shirt, or I like this, maybe it seems a bit cringy at the time, but ultimately, if it comes from a nice feeling, that's all it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's fine. Like, And sometimes people wear really cool t-shirts. Just like, my favorite band is Mikachu and the Shapes, and they're not really a big band, but sometimes if... No, okay, yeah, so that's like, not a lot of people know them. And if I ever see someone wearing a Mikachu and the Shapes t-shirt, I would definitely say something about it, because I'm a big fan. So that's always... It feels like you're bonding straight away, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny how it provides that kind of new platform.
Yeah. Definitely.
Do you remember the first time that Pit Blom felt really comfortable as a band, you know, as a kind of as a unit, where you're like, you know, we're practicing regularly? Because here's the other thing, you know, going from that, what we're talking about, that kind of period of time, to becoming, you know, a unit that practices once or twice a week and it becomes part of your schedule. I find that really interesting, because you become your own boss, don't you? And you start being like, okay, I'm going to have fun, but I'm also taking this, you know, seriously, maybe, but like, you know, constructing it, you know, so it works.
Yeah. Well, I guess it took quite a while, because the first 2 or 3 years we rotated band members quite a lot. And that felt a bit like, are we ever going to find a group of people that want to do this full time, or, and that we all think are good enough, or that it works together. But then I think, like, a month before we went to record Boats in the studio, that's when Derek joined the band. So then we were with Derek, Cheney, Tender, and I, and that's when it really felt like a proper unit. So it has been like that for a couple of years now, and now recently everything has changed again, of course. But in the beginning, it was just like, some of us were studying And that was really difficult because then your priorities are different, I would say. But then at the same time, it was just also really fun. So it didn't really feel like a big issue that it wasn't always easy, I guess. And I also had to learn everything. Like, I'd never been in a band. I didn't know how to communicate with other people about music. So I guess it was good that we had some time to get that straight and for me to be able to feel confident as well. I mean, I'm still not really confident, but at least I kind of know how to say stuff bit better than I used to, I hope, at least.
It's growing, you know, everyone's growing. There's no kind of, there's no linear way or there's no like levels that you get to and you've unlocked that achievement. It's all, it's always learning, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And like, especially with making music, it can feel so vulnerable. So you really need to pay attention as well if you want to criticize someone, how you're going to do that, and if you are allowing someone else to give you critique as well, or straight away be like, no, I wanted to do it like this, and not even listening to someone else. Like, it's it's quite learning.
No one teaches you how to do that, do they?
No.
That's ace. Hey, I mean, Welcome Break was my introduction to Pip Blom, and seeing you at Islington Assembly Room was amazing. That album is so great. Listening to Bobby now, and it's brilliant. And the first thing that stuck out to it, and it's on the first track and it's kind of scattered throughout the record, is when you're talking about this person, about how they're always in this room, this kind of maybe invisible person. To me, that's like the voice of, or the way I read it, the way I read it is that that's the voice of anxiety, maybe, or that voice of telling you not very nice things.
That's true. I mean, it's, I always find it difficult, like, and I think everyone has got that in some sort of way, that you're trying to live your life and I guess trying to do it in the best possible way, try to be nice to other people, but also not completely lose yourself. But that you're always struggling with your brain criticizing your behavior, or like the next day, all of a sudden you realize that you said something in some type of way, and then feeling this massive amount of guilt or shame. And
classic.
I just find that really annoying. But at the same time, I do also think it's good to sometimes think back and be like, was that the right thing to say, or could I have done that differently? So it's like, it's a balancing game, I would say.
Yeah, it's really good to hold yourself to account. And we live in a good time for it now. I feel like we live in a time where you can call out your friends more easily. That's more done, you know?
Yeah, but that's also terrifying because you don't want to be ignorant and not having realized that you're doing something that's annoying or bad, or I don't know, any type of way. So sometimes I guess you can lose track of yourself as well, being afraid to make mistakes, I guess.
Mistakes is the big thing. That's how we learn.
Exactly.
So easy to say, much harder in reality.
That's true. But then at the same time, you're right that it's good being called out as well, because that's when you realize, because sometimes you've just missed that you did something in a certain way. I mean, I enjoy living life, but I do also find it quite challenging at some points. And I guess you just try and be a good person, but that's not always easy.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of negotiating with our brains a lot of the time as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of trading with them, trading with our own minds.
Yeah, definitely. And like, and your emotions as well. I can be quite passionate, and sometimes the next day I'm like, oh God, should have been that passionate about something.
I mean, when I put scenarios that I've been in, a recent thing for me, it's such an obvious one, but it's never too late to apologize. That's something that I've learned recently. Yeah. Whatever it is, you know, bad or other, is maybe a little bad thing or a really bad thing. You can apologize.
No, definitely. Yeah, it's just that sometimes, I don't know why, but it feels like self-sabotage, but then you want to apologize, and then every time you feel like it's not the right moment, but I mean, you should just do it, I guess.
There's never a right moment for some of that stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but it's the same, like, I've always struggled, and I know that lots of people do, so I don't feel like I'm a special snowflake, but, like, when I'm in a group with lots of people that I don't really know, and then I'm not the one that talks first, I guess. So then you wait a bit, like maybe 5 minutes, and then there's this voice in your head that is saying, you should start saying something or else it's too late. And then 10 minutes go by, and then it's like your head says, you can't say anything now, because now it's going to be strange if you say anything. And then you just sit there for the entire 2 hours and be like, I messed up. Yeah,
that stuff can drive you mad, drives you around the bend, doesn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Because you have this outlet of being able to write about your emotions, write about your feelings, and, you know, contextualize things and make sense of your life, do you think that's made you, do you think you've encouraged yourself, because you're writing lyrics, are you kind of more in tune with facing your feelings and analyzing yourself, really, and putting that into storytelling?
I mean, like, because I'm not from the UK and it's not my first language, I do feel there's always a barrier, because I can't, like, it just always feel like I can't 100% express the way I want to express myself. And I don't want to come across as someone that's trying too hard to be, like, English, like, witty. And, like, I remember when, like, I was younger, Arctic Monkeys were really big, and those lyrics are, of course, like, really cool. And I saw other bands around me trying to copy that way of writing, but I just always find it really cringy. But now I'm a bit older and I've thought about it quite a lot, and I think I just think it's really important to write lyrics, for me at least, that are quite straightforward, because then I feel most at ease with it. But I do use, like, Rhyme Zone, which is an online rhyme platform that gives that helps me with rhyming, or Google Translate, all that stuff. Like, so it will never be 100% the way I feel. But I guess that's fine. It's lyrics anyway, so it's not like I'm trying to explain everything that I feel. So,
I mean, as sort of minorly frustrating as that sounds, I mean, first of all, you've done a great job. It's, I didn't even think until you said that about the sort of second, your English being your second language, and about that, you know, sort of those barriers that maybe you come up against. I wouldn't have even thought that.
Oh, well, thanks for the compliment. That's good.
No. Do you write a diary?
No, I don't. I've always tried, but I find it difficult. Like, after, like, if you don't do it for, like, a day, then I feel like I failed. So I've just given up on that.
That reminds me, I need to do my German Duolingo. That's the annoying thing about those.
Yeah.
They let you know you haven't done it. You're like, oh.
Did you mess up your streak?
Well, I don't really know. I don't really understand it. And also, I don't really pay attention to the streak. Okay. And I've got that thing that a friend, you know, Dave will message me being like, congratulations. And I'm like, fuck off, Dave. I'd love to speak with Dave. I'd love to text him. But on Duolingo, I don't care. Yeah. I just want to learn my German and get out. You know?
Fair enough. So what is it? Why do you want to learn German then?
My partner's German.
Aha. Well, that's a good reason.
And so I know a lot about that second language, and quite often, say we're having a fight, you know, like an argument, she will be frustrated because, you know, in the heat of the moment, she won't be able to find the English words.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really, really annoying. Yeah.
But on the other side is that so often she'll describe something in a way, and I think that is such a beautiful way to describe that. You know, she would use words that I wouldn't, you know, English words that I wouldn't think of. Yeah. And it always makes me, you know, never in a condescending way, it makes me laugh. It makes me happy. It fills me with joy.
Yeah, I get that. I do understand. Yeah, no, fair enough. Like, and I remember when I was working on the record with Dave, the producer, Dave McCracken, he read through the lyric just to make sure that there aren't any, like, massive mistakes or like, I don't know.
He's the sense police.
I guess, but he also said like that he kept some bits in there that are maybe not 100% like right, like the proper way you should say it. But he said it felt to him, it felt really authentic and gave an extra element to lyrics. So, and then that was, I guess, the first time that I didn't feel ashamed. Like I was like, ah, maybe that is true. Maybe that's my thing. I am not English, so it is fine.
That was really
quite nice.
I mean, that's so, because it's all about finding yourself. It's all, you know, it's not about trying to be someone else or
no. Yeah.
It's about being the most you can be.
Yeah. And sometimes you need someone else to be like, oh, but that's really nice the way you've just done that. Yeah. And then you're like, ha, maybe that is true.
and you wouldn't have even thought about it. You know, you wouldn't think, oh, that was a really cool way I worded that or I phrased that.
No, definitely not. No.
In art, you don't have to make sense.
No,
of course you don't need to make sense. That's part of the fun of it. I mean, like rock and roll should be fun and free and you know, maybe a bit goofy, maybe serious at other times, but ultimately it's up to you. Like no one, you can't let anyone tell you how to be.
No, but I guess because lots of bands in the Netherlands make music in English, so the focus on lyrics is really different. People are usually quite, either they dislike the fact that people have adopted an English accent, or they dislike the fact that people sing Dunglish, so English with a very thick Dutch accent. So I think being from a different country, the focus is really different on the language. It's more about like having to do it right instead of having fun with it, because it's like still something you're learning, and then the idea is that it should be done in a proper way. And or maybe that's, at least that's what I've always thought. So maybe no one else thinks this. But
is there a pressure to kind of, because the music industry is so, it's about, you know, especially in indie rock, it's about the United States and it's about England and it's about these English speaking countries.
Yeah.
Is there a bit of pressure, do you think, that you're like, okay, if we want to reach people, we should.
Yeah, because like the Netherlands is such a small country. I mean, we live here with 17 million people, which is a lot, because it only takes 2.5 hours. That's like the maximum amount of time you can drive from one side of the country to the other side. So it's tiny. And then the indie scene, like the guitar indie scene, I would say, isn't that big. It used to be a lot bigger, but it's not the thing at the minute. So it means that if you release something in the Netherlands, you can maybe play like, I don't know, a maximum amount of like 15 or maybe 20 shows a year. And that's just not enough to do this full time. So if you want to be able to do that, you have to expand and like go to the UK. But then again, when you go to the UK, it's really difficult because the industry is very self, centered or focused on the UK itself. It has been changing a lot, like recently, like the last couple of years. It's like I've noticed that there are more and more bands from outside of the UK that are doing well in the UK as well, but I feel like it's not easy. That being said, it's not easy being from the UK and being in a band there either. Like it's just difficult becoming
there. Are
a big
so
band.
Many bands, aren't there? And no venue. I mean, as has been said on this podcast so many times, that when you go to Europe you get treated so well at a gig, you get hot dinners, you get a place to stay. Doesn't happen in England.
No and then it's like, so the cost to even get to the UK are quite high. But then I mean, I guess if you want to be a musician just because it's easy, then I don't think you're in the right place anyway. So,
that's the thing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
101. Pip, most of the full-time jobs I've had, I've not been very good at. And I'm coming through a stage now where I think I'm just going to try and do what I'm good at. Everyone has something that they're good at. Like, if you can somehow, like, the work is to work out what that is. You know, that's the challenge, right? Sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it takes time, but that's fine, because if everything goes right, then you live like 70, 80 years. So you can take your time as well to figure out what it is that you're good at.
Definitely. And that ties us neatly into talking about jobs, because for so many people, I mean, at least half of our lives, I mean, in a big way, jobs do kind of provide us with some kind of identity. And I find that really interesting, because we live in a time now that we're kind of told, we're in that generation, right, where we're told that we can do anything, we can do whatever we want. That doesn't make it easier, because there's too much. We don't know where to start.
Yeah, definitely.
What kind of side hustles or even full-time jobs have you had since starting the band or before?
Well, I've had quite a couple of different ones. So I used to babysit a lot. I guess that's when you were like the age of 12 till like 18.
Wow. So they got you early. 12 years old is early to start working. You're a responsible teenager.
Well, I just wanted money. I wanted to buy stuff. I would say I was greedy. No, but then my next job was a weird one. I really enjoyed that, though. I think you call it a teleprompter or like a prompter. So that's the one. If you watch a TV show, it's usually like on the news. When the presenter needs to read stuff, they look at the camera, and there's someone that is in charge of the speed of the letters. And I was the one like twisting that button to make sure they could read it at the right speed.
That's really funny.
Yeah, no, and it was at a sports channel, and I don't really care about sports, but it was actually quite fun to be behind the scenes of like a show and see how that all works. And it was also like, it was quite a job with big responsibility, because you could mess up the whole show if you made a mistake with the spinning wheel. Like,
you get on news bloopers. That's one of my favorite things to watch on YouTube, is news bloopers.
Yeah, well, I got lots of them. I was like 18, and everyone there was like, they did that for a job, and I was just there like, spinning that small wheel, like
learning on
stressing
the job.
Out. Yeah,
that's brilliant. Hey, Pip, thanks so much. It's great
thanks
chatting and hearing
me.
These stories.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
Good fun. Cheers. And Bobby is such a brilliant record. You know, this podcast is hearing about the stories in and around, mostly around the music. But it's such a great album. And you got some... In the UK, you've got so many fans. You know, I mentioned it again, but going to that Islington show, that I haven't been to many shows that I felt such a communal sense, a good energy in the room. You know, you really bring that out of people.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so cool to hear. I'm glad. I mean, I guess that's kind of what we try and do, but it's good to hear that it's kind of succeeding.
Definitely.
It's great to hear.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
So there she was, Pip Blom, here on 101 Part-Time Jobs. Go and listen to the record, Bobby. It's so great. It's got such great feeling. It's a real experience of a record. Can I say that without sounding wanky? It's an experience, man. Yeah, Pip Blom, Bobby, out now on Heavenly Recordings. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll be back tomorrow with Buck Meek from Big Thief, Fiddler at the end of the week, and Snail Mail next week. So make sure you subscribe. I've also got a newsletter on the website, 101parttimejobs.com. Sign up for that and you get some extra free stuff on Sundays. Yeah, it's all happening. And I'm doing a live show on the 12th of December with Bob Villain at Bush Hall in London. Tickets for that also at 101parttimejobs.com. Yeah, pretty scared to not sell any tickets for that, so please come. See you then.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.